And Ron Paul's gotten all sorts of media attention now. He was on Wolf Blitzer's Situation Room. I think he was on CNN Sunday also. I missed that one. And Bill Maher, who trashed him a few weeks ago on his program, now calls Ron Paul his new hero.
Oh, no.
So he's going to have him on again. So this Ron Paul movement is really getting going. It's really getting going. But I haven't been this excited about the restoration of freedom in this country for a long time. This really could be a paradigm shift, I'm thinking. And if I was Ron, I'd watch my back. I'm even thinking of joining the Republican Party.
Oh, no.
Not that I would not get away, folks, don't get me wrong. Not that I'd quit the Libertarian Party. But Ron Paul's a member of the Republican Party and the Libertarian Party. And the only reason I'd join is to promote Ron Paul. See, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited. To promote Ron Paul's candidacy. He has the guts, the courage to speak the truth to this Republican establishment, and they're just going, they're beside themselves. It's great. It's great to watch, and Ron Paul's going to be a household word pretty soon. I'm quite confident, and I think he could win the New Hampshire primary. If he does that, who knows what could happen. So, folks, if you really care about restoration of freedom in this country, I really urge you to join the campaign. Ron Paul's web address, but just search Ron Paul on the internet. You get all sorts of stuff. He's the most, I believe he's the most Googled, at least on the blog search engine. He's the most searched name on the internet. So, yes, folks, this is a singular opportunity. Not saying Ron Paul's going to win, but he's already affecting change. And he's bringing the non-interventionist view of foreign policy into the national debate. And that's something that had to be started and is being started. So I think that's great. Okay. Oh, yeah, well, one other thing, thinking of stupid regulation, not really a regulation, but the head of the GOP in Michigan had started a petition to keep Ron Paul out of future debates.
Oh, no.
He was so upset at Ron Paul's position on 911, and evidently his office had never been so inundated with phone calls. Well, he stopped his petition. He's back down on his petition.
Oh, good.
These Republican fascist types, they're just so predictable and stupid. I mean, don't they understand what the reaction's going to be, what the blowback, as Ron Paul would have said, is going to be when they try to oppress free speech? All sorts of commentaries came out against this idiot from Michigan, including conservative Republicans. What are you doing to us, you dummy? You're making Ron Paul even more the star than he already is. And no, you can't stifle that kind of thing. You can't shut it down. That's unfortunately, that seems to be the right wing. And when I say right wing, I'm referring to the social conservatives and the establishment elite. That's just their natural reaction. They see some pornography or something, and they give it the light of day instead of just shutting up. They don't understand how human action works to their detriment. And again, folks, it could be morning in America, so I urge you all to join the Ron Paul campaign. We are going to have Dr. Tom Tweeden back talking about 911. We just ran out of time 2 weeks ago, and we couldn't come on last week, but he should be back. So we will be discussing more about the 911 tragedy after these messages.
All
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland
new program. Maybe we should do another overview of what your position is, of what happened in 911, and what needs to be researched, what hasn't been investigated by the federal government.
Okay, well, basically, I think that my position is that I don't know, and I think that nobody really knows other than the people that were directly involved, and we don't know who those people were and won't because it was until we have a criminal investigation. So the position of me and most of the people in the 9/11 truth movement is that we don't know, and we want a legitimate criminal investigation into the crimes of 9/11. There are many, many facts that have surfaced, and there is a lot of information that we have that suggests that some high-ranking members of our government and members of corporate America were involved to some extent in what happened on 9/11, that they probably had pre-knowledge, and probably were actually involved physically in the collapse of the buildings in New York. But we can't find out anything until we have a criminal investigation. Obviously, if there are perpetrators in our country that were involved, they're not going to step forward and voluntarily admit their guilt. As with any crime, you have to have a prosecutor. You have to use the powers of the judiciary to subpoena people and to swear them in before a grand jury and to charge them with perjury should they be found to be lying under oath. And without that, we just aren't, you know, just asking people to come on and tell us what happened is ridiculous. I mean, Thomas Keene says that the government lied to the 9/11 Commission, that NORAD lied and the military lied. Lee Hamilton says that many of the people in the current administration would be behind bars if we had a legitimate criminal investigation with all of the funding that would be necessary and the discovery powers of the judiciary applied to the crime. So really what our position is in the 9/11 truth movement is that we demand a legitimate criminal investigation into the obvious crimes of 9/11. A good place to start would be with Mr. Larry Silverstein, the owner of Building 7, the Solomon Brothers building, and the leaseholder for the World Trade Center complex at the time of its destruction. And in its first many decades of existence, it had been run by the Port Authority. And in the year prior to, in the half year prior to 9/11, it had been leased to Silverstein Properties. Now, Mr. Silverstein already owned the Solomon Brothers building, and as the leaseholder of the entire complex, he purchased a special insurance policy, which went into effect in August of 01, that insured the buildings against terrorist attacks. So, less than 6 weeks after this insurance policy was purchased, of course, the terrorist attack occurred.
That's quite a coincidence.
There are many coincidences. Like, for instance, Wirt Walker, who is George W. Bush's first cousin, was head of Securicom, the security agency, which is a subsidiary of Kroll Corporation, until the Friday before 9/11, with offices in the Twin Towers. His place was taken by John O'Neill, who had just retired from the FBI and was the FBI's number one expert on Middle Eastern terror groups, including Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden's activities. So he had retired, and his first day on the job, his first day in his new offices on the 32nd floor, was 9/11. Tuesday morning, he died. No one really knows how he died, because he was on the 32nd floor, and obviously the plane struck far above there. But actually, probably the greatest smoking gun of the entire day was the collapse of Building 7, World Trade Center 7, the Solomon Brothers building that Larry Silverstein owned. It was the newest of the buildings in the World Trade Center complex. It was a 47-story structure that would have been the biggest building in over 35 of the states in the United States. At 5:20 that afternoon, there are many videos of its collapse. At 5:20 on the afternoon of 9/11, it collapsed at free fall speed into its footprint, not damaging the neighboring buildings. There was no significant fire visible on the various videos of the building at the time of its collapse. The penthouse is seen to first sink into the roof, and then the building crimps in the center and then implodes and falls at free fall speed. Obviously, this was a controlled demolition. More obviously, to do a controlled demolition, you have to set it up. And to set it up takes months of planning and very difficult positioning of the correct kinds of cutter charges. And
so it could have been for safety reasons at the time, then, is what you're saying. They could have planned it in 2 hours or 5 hours.
No, everybody, the firemen with the New York City Fire Department cleared the area because they were told the building was coming down. Most absurdly, the BBC, there had a reporter in New York, and she's standing. They found some office where she has a panoramic view of the World Trade Center site, Ground Zero, and she's broadcasting at 4:58. That's 22 minutes before 5:20. She is broadcasting over the BBC, and in the back behind her, you can see the smoldering wreckage of Ground Zero, and standing there sturdily is the Solomon Brothers building, and she's just reading her script. She's looking at the camera. The camera's looking at her, and out behind her, you can see the Ground Zero with the Solomon Brothers building there. And she is reporting not the imminent collapse of, but she said, we've just been told that World Trade Center 7, Building 7, the Solomon Brothers building, has just collapsed.
That is really incredible, and I'm trying to think how possibly that could be answered by those who appear to trying to be covering up this situation.
Well, let me just say this again. There are the only way you're going to get answers is to subpoena people, put them before a grand jury, swear them in, and charge them with perjury if they lie, and use the same kind of methods that you use with any other crime, and then. That seems so patently obvious that that's the only way. You're not going to ask the people in the FBI hey, did you notice anybody kind of drilling in the walls in the months prior? Because the offices in the World Trade Center 7 were the FBI offices, CIA offices, NSA offices for the New York area, the investigatory branch and records rooms for the SEC and several other major financial institutions. In fact, when that building went down, along with it went the records that were being used for the investigation of the Enron debacle, the California energy crisis aspect of the Enron debacle, and they just were destroyed when the building went down. Another thing I think that your listeners need to understand is the World Trade Center, the beautiful and symbolic as it was a big white elephant for the Port Authority. It was losing millions of dollars a year.
Was it fully incapacitated?
Oh no, 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 no! There were many floors that were vacant floors, floors, entire 1 acre floors that.
How did this get financed to begin with? If it's the Port Authority, that's the part of the federal government or the state or New York State government.
New York City. It got financed mainly. David Rockefeller, it was his pet project back in the 60s. And, you know, of the Council for Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group and all those nice guys. Anyway, it was his pet project. What happened is it was having to be, you know, it just wasn't a modern building, and along came the Internet, so you didn't need the centralization of information. That was necessary. In other words, you just didn't need to run down stairs for a conference. You just did a video conference on the Internet. So a lot of, you know, a lot of what the World Trade Center was designed to provide was made obsolete by the Internet. And so that was a problem. And they had a bigger problem, and that was midway through the construction of the World Trade Centers, the EPA discovered or developed new guidelines concerning the use of asbestos in buildings. So the World Trade Centers, steel and other structures, ductwork, et cetera, were asbestos insulated. And the projected cost of removing that asbestos was over $1 billion, and the there was no way to really remove it without evacuating the buildings, because and the Port Authority had been given waiver after waiver concerning that, but of course the school districts and other builders in the in New York didn't see why they had to conform.
Right.
And the World Trade Center didn't. So it was becoming a touchy issue. They couldn't afford to get the asbestos out. It, even with the asbestos in and the waivers, they were losing money. You couldn't take it down stick by stick. How are you going to get rid of these damn buildings? And, well, why don't, you know, we could get, hire some, Arabs and, have them destroyed by terrorists, and we could just maybe fly an airplane into them and have them set up for controlled demolition and try to get as many people out of there as you possibly could, so you didn't have to pay too much in insurance claims to buy the silence of the bereaved families of the deceased. So what you have to do is what you have to do, and you know what I mean. That's just a collateral damage, and so what you do is you fly the planes into the buildings. And
one man's, by the way, one man's collateral damage is another man's terrorism. But
well, you know, terrorism. I love the definition of terrorism as the last cry of a people who have no voice. Is to me a great definition for terrorism. People aren't naturally terrorists. I guess there are psychopaths and Ted Bundys out there, but not very many of them, thank God. So, you know, people, the day after 9/11, on one of the news shows, they were interviewing people of New York, and of course, the adults all sought retribution. And from whoever it was that did it. They wanted to find out who did it and get them. And that's kind of the way I felt, too. I hadn't thought it through completely. And there were some school kids that were going to school near the World Trade Center complex site, and they asked some of them what they thought. And a little boy said, he said, boy, those people must really hate us for some reason. Maybe it'd be a good idea to try to figure out what we did that made them so mad and try to fix that. This is some, you know, 8-year-old or 9-year-old. And to me, that was such a logical answer. Of course, that goes along with the blowback theory.
The blowback, which, of course, Giuliani demagogued last Tuesday night.
Yeah, Giuliani, I thought, basically said he'd never even heard of such a thing. Ron Paul said, you know, brought up the blowback theory.
Right.
And that's, you know, to me, a blowback, that's what I immediately thought when I saw it. But then I started thinking, you know, more about it, and the more I researched it, I found out, for instance, there are no Arabic names on the flight manifestos for any of the planes that crashed that day. No Arabic names. The entire...
Well, they could have had pseudonyms, couldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they could have, but, you know, what were they? They must have had some kind of identification. I suppose they could have. There were no, you know, in the flight, the something above 90% of the bodies of the passengers were found in the Pentagon and same in Shanksville. Although Shanksville spread out over an 8-mile radius, I guess they body parts bounced, maybe. I don't know. But at any rate, they found over the military forensics lab at Bethesda or wherever in the hell it is, did the autopsies and did the identifications and were able to identify body parts from over 90% of the passengers of those two flights. They identified no Arab body parts. So, you know, but they did identify one of the terrorist passports on the street of New York that had made it through the fireball and the collapse of the building and survived intact, gently wafted its way down onto the streets of New York, which is a little unbelievable when you consider the fact that just last summer, they found hundreds of fragments of bone on top of the Deutsche Bank building. And they, of course, are doing the DNA analysis to see if they might be able to find some, you know, the body. I don't know what became of those fragments other than they were being analyzed. But if you think about it now, the Deutsche Bank building is a block away or two blocks away from the World Trade Center. How did bone get fragmented? I mean, if you think about a collapse, then you think about something heavy crushing down on things below it and squashing, not blowing it out into fragments. You know, bone is tough stuff. It, you know, it's connected by ligaments to other bone. Right. It's connected by tendons to muscle. How can you fragment it into 2-centimeter slivers and send it 2 blocks away to land on the top of another high-rise building? How can that happen? What force, what kind of a force would generate the power necessary to fragment living bone tissue inside a human body and propel it 2 blocks through the air? What force would do that? I mean, the questions that I'm asking are obvious kinds of questions. What would cause 5 weeks after, if kerosene, which is jet fuel's highest burning temperature with all the oxygen you could feed pure oxygen to it, only gets to half the temperature of molten iron or steel, then how would you, 5 weeks after 9/11, have pools of molten iron in the basement of the World Trade Center complex? Where would the heat come from that would be great enough to first not just melt the steel, but manage to keep it in a molten form for 5 weeks. And when nothing, no organic material burns at a high enough temperature without feeding it pure oxygen in a great amount, like, you know, an oxyacetylene. If you want to melt some steel, if you know anything about welding, a cutting torch uses acetylene and oxygen forced together in a very, very under high pressure in a very specific amount and way,
right,
to generate enough heat to melt a little tiny piece of steel and enough to cut through it.
Right. I mean, that's true. Yeah.
So what? Where does molten? But then,
Jeff, you say jet fuel cannot reach that temperature.
Oh, can't reach half that temperature. And besides that, what was that fireball that we all saw? That was jet fuel burning up in air. I mean, the jet fuel, I mean, take some gasoline or take a, you know, 5 gallons of jet fuel, pour it out, and then throw a match on it and see how long the fire lasts. It blows up. It just is a fireball,
right,
which is
right,
what we all saw.
Right.
We saw the jet fuel just, you know, blow out as a huge fireball in the first minute. It was practically gone. So where, how, you know, I mean, the elevators, it wasn't like there's the elevator shaft runs. You could say, well, it was just a lucky hit, and all the jet fuel poured down an elevator shaft into the basement where it then melted the steel in the basement. But you see, there are elevators in that elevator shaft, and there, you know, they had three different layers or levels where you got off one elevator and got onto another elevator to carry you up. So it wasn't like a shaft that ran straight from the roof to the basement. And even, you know, if you postulated that was what happened, but, you know, the fireball explains that. But even if, let's just say you took all the jet fuel in both planes and poured it into the basement and lit a match, well, you still wouldn't, obviously that didn't happen, but it wouldn't generate, it wouldn't have the oxygen. You know, the fires that we saw in the World Trade Center complex were producing large amounts of black smoke. Well, everybody's made a campfire. You know, black smoke means the wood's wet. You know, I mean, you haven't got a good fire because you don't have, it doesn't have enough air or the wood is wet. And so a nice hot fire, like the one on your gas range at home, doesn't produce any smoke. And if it's not got enough oxygen, then it smokes. The kerosene or the fuel that you use for your kerosene lantern, which is basically jet fuel used to, you know, make light. If you don't give it just the right amount of oxygen, it just smolders and smokes. You get a lot of soot. Everybody's had this experience. It's just, if you think about it, the pools of molten stuff in the basements of the World Trade Center complex was iron. Well, steel has mostly iron, but it's iron with other additives that makes it stronger. And so if you melt it, then you get molten steel. But what was in the basements of the World Trade Center was molten iron with sulfur in it. Well, how would you get that? Where would that come from? How could you possibly get it? Well, what controlled demolition, the company that cleaned up the World Trade Center complex site and the federal building in Oklahoma City site, use when they do what they do mainly, which is bring buildings down in a controlled fashion, what they use is thermite and thermate. Well, thermite is military grade thermite. Thermite is aluminum and iron oxide mixed together. And if you use some magnesium to ignite it, what it does is it burns at an extreme, it's called an exothermic reaction, and it's an extremely intense exothermic reaction. And what you end up with is aluminum oxide and elemental iron, and the elemental iron exists as molten elemental iron. in a pool until it cools. Well, that could explain. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it certainly could explain the incredible, the first time in history that a building has collapsed due to fire was on 9/11 at the World Trade Center site. And three did it that day. Three buildings collapsed supposedly due to fire. Well, if just listeners, you think about it, the fire was in the upper floors. The fire was at the top. You know, two stories down, you know, you wouldn't even feel the heat. The fire didn't spread throughout the building. The fire was going out in building two. One of the firemen up there that was to the 78th floor said he had two small fires. He could put it out with two lines.
Hmm.
That's the last thing he said, because then the building collapsed.
Oh,
well, what was happening there is they were evacuating the people. You're going to save $1 million a head for all the people you got out, because you wouldn't have the silence of their families.
Hmm.
So that's what right now it took the money, and over 90% of the families took the money that our government provided. If you took that money, it canceled your ability to have any recourse, civilly
right.
or criminally,
right.
against anybody.
Right.
Regarding the tragedy.
All right, we're talking to Dr. Tom Tween, who's brought up so many things for us to think about, and we welcome any questions or comments or observations you have at 847-931-1410. Give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19 out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president.
And re-elected
him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give, that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
All right, we are back with Dr. Tom Tweeden talking about 911. And let's go to the phones. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning. You know what? I got a question for you. Which party do you belong to? Are you a Democrat or a Republican?
Are you asking me or Kenneth?
No, I'm asking you, which party do you belong to?
Well, actually, I really think that we live in a corporatocracy, and both the parties are pretty much the same. They play good cop, bad cop. I'm a registered Democrat. I'm from Arkansas.
Well, there you go. It just solved my head.
Well, so wait, Jeff, let him finish completely his answer.
I'm a registered Democrat. I live in Arkansas. I voted for Bill Clinton, and actually thought he was a pretty good guy until I studied on the facts a little bit more and realized that now he's just a corporate shill also. I don't think that the two-party system is actually the one-party system, and what it does is it freezes out all independence. It allows soft money to control government because, you know, that's what the McCain-Feingold bill did, is it just said that individuals are limited in the amount that they can give to candidates, but corporations aren't limited in the amount that they can give to parties. For instance, General Electric gives $5 million to one party and $5 to the other, earmarks it for specific candidates, and they buy ads on NBC. So General Electric gets its $10 million back and gets to choose both the Republican and Democratic candidates.
Well, see, now here's the thing, okay? I firmly believe if that would have been a Democrat in office and this happened, you wouldn't be hearing about it. I'm almost positive. But the point
is... Wait. You wouldn't be hearing about what?
You wouldn't... If 9/11 happened, you wouldn't be hearing a squawk about conspiracy theories left and right and all this stuff. Okay, now wait a minute. I know enough. I've had engineering on buildings. I mean, just because I'm not an architect doesn't mean I don't know, you know, squat about it. I do. I have a friend of mine that works in New York who's gone through this with other people and has said, you know, what happened, it's hard to explain on any terms for anything. Now, what I'm trying to make here is that there's a lot of people out there throwing a lot of innuendos out about, and I'm not a George Bush supporter by no means. I'm an independent. I think both sides are full of crap, BS. But, you know, that's just here or there. It's politics. Okay, the bottom line is, if and when this is true, I'll eat my words on it. Okay, I'll apologize to everybody in blue and the sun, but I don't think it ever is true. Everybody's trying to compare this to, like, the John F. Kennedy conspiracy type thing. And it, you know, in the moon.
Well, I really don't know where you're going, Jeff. At first, you said that what happened there is unexplainable.
That's right.
There's a lot of questions, which is what Dr. Tom Tweeden is asking. A lot of questions.
There's a lot of questions. I could ask a lot of questions. I've looked at this and I said, well, what about this? You know, let's focus on. I look at it this way. Let's focus on trying to prevent stuff, getting the bad guys out of office, getting, you know, reform in this. Kenneth goes through this with his show all the time. There are other problems in this in our country right now we ought to be focusing on besides 9/11. It happened.
Okay,
already.
We got your point. I want to get a response from Tom.
Okay, my response is that, you know, my conspiracy theory is there was a conspiracy. and that I don't know who did it, and I think that the American people deserve to know who did it, and that it was we have based our foreign policy and our domestic policy on a crime that was never investigated as a crime. We're basing an incredible, we're going into debt. Our grandchildren will not be done paying for the debt that's been created over the last 6 years. We've more than doubled our national debt based on, and we're at war in a foreign nation based on a theory, a conspiracy theory that has never been tested in a court of law. No one's been charged. No one has been gone before a grand jury. There has been no prosecution of anyone concerning the crime of 9/11. What we need is a criminal investigation.
I don't think that's unreasonable. That's what would happen any other time.
Yeah, I don't see what's unreasonable about my request for a criminal investigation into a major crime.
Right.
You know what, Ken, that brings up an interesting point, because earlier Dr. Tweeden said that money was involved with Building 7 going down because it was a white horse for the...
Right.
For the security of the New York City. But now it's costing us more money, so that wasn't a well thought out plan.
Well, but it was costing them, not the taxpayers.
And that's the big difference.
That is the difference.
That is the big difference.
All right, let's move on. We have Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing? You didn't mention anything about the missile that was strapped to the bottom of the jetliner that hit the One Trade Tower, which is what I heard at one of the 911 seminars put on here in Schaumburg. But I want to ask you about Building 7. You know, there's a affidavit by Richard Basinski, who is a firefighter, dated December 6th, where he talks about watching over this area around a little after 3 in the afternoon, and he talks about Building 7 beginning to collapse on one side. Now, you would think that the building would collapse all at one time if it was detonated, but he's reporting that I believe it's the south wall is beginning to collapse, and that's eventually how the building landed. Are you suggesting that that was where the control room of the charges in the taller towers was located? Is that true?
No, I've
heard that at a 911 conference here.
Okay, I think that if you come up with everybody's got their pet theory, and it's a conspiracy theory. It's a theory. It's not a proven fact. And there's the theory of the pod on the bottom of the United plane that crashed into the South Tower. I've seen many demonstrations that suggest its existence. I don't know if it was there or not. It looks like it's there to me. As far as the building collapsing, the footage that I have seen, and I've seen it from about 6 different perspectives on 6 different videos, shows Building 7 collapsing perfectly symmetrically at free fall speed. If you think about it, if a building started to collapse on one side, if you cut a tree down, it doesn't turn into sawdust at the trunk, tips over and falls. So if the building was off-centered and there was an asymmetric fire on one side that didn't make it through the building so you couldn't see it through the windows of the opposite side of the building, then logic would tell you that it would tip and fall toward that side, not fall into its basement. I mean, that's what logic would tell me. We need a criminal. Let's get Mr. Kaczynski before a grand jury. Let's talk to him. I mean, it sounds like the firefighters that were there that day, many of them in the oral histories that were given after 9/11 describe multiple explosions. Sound like fireworks. It sounded like, you know, when one of those buildings coming down. There are numerous quotes from firemen concerning the multiple explosions that occurred prior to the collapse of the Twin Towers. The collapse of Building 7 is, I think, the biggest smoking gun. But if we had a thorough investigation, then all of the questions asked by the 9/11 Truth Organization and the people that are seeking an investigation would be asked, and it may be that it was some guy with a laptop in a cave in Afghanistan, and 15 Saudis, Lebanese, Yemenis, and a Syrian that actually did it. I mean, that could be what happened. it seems like that's probably, you know, that theory seems pretty absurd, but maybe that's the one that's true.
We, you know, I tell you, the administration has such a problem on their hands with Iraq that I don't think they're going to reinvestigate 911.
They
have, but if your point is that there were charges in these buildings, doesn't the collapse of the California freeway after a tanker truck caught on fire underneath it, doesn't that give you any pause about the mechanics involved in heat and steel structures, and that it doesn't take the point of melting steel to make it weaken? And as very evidenced by that California collapse, it doesn't take much.
Okay, think about it then. Okay, if let's just say that what you just postulated is correct, then there's certainly a big difference between a steel-framed high-rise and a freeway.
How's that?
And if a tanker truck hit one of the supports, the whole freeway didn't collapse. A section of the freeway collapsed at the point where the tanker truck hit. But in buildings 1 and 2, let's say, World Trade Center's building 2, the fire is going out, apparently. It's not increasing. And if, let's just say, it got hot enough and it weakened the steel, think about what would happen if the steel weakened. It wouldn't certainly weaken symmetrically around the entire building. And if it did, it would just sort of sink in there. More likely, it would be an asymmetric fire. That's what it certainly looked like. You see the fire on one side, don't see it on the other side. You see people standing in the hole where the plane hit, so it couldn't be that hot. But then, if that were your postulation is correct, then what would happen is it would weaken on one side and it would tip over. I mean, the top would then tip in that direction, not collapse and not pulverize into dust. And if you had the pancake theory, if it did collapse and then the force of the falling top part crushed the next floor and that crushed the next floor and that crushed the next floor, it wouldn't collapse at free fall speed. And what you'd have at the bottom is, you know, like I described last time we spoke, I spoke on this program, you'd have the world's largest bagwood sandwich.
We got to do this again. We're over time. Dr. Tom Tweed, thank you so much. Bob, thanks for your call. A very good question. I hope we can do this again. Sorry to Norbert, Dick, and Therese. We couldn't get to you. This is fascinating stuff. Tom, hope to hear from you again.
I'll be here.
All right, very
good.
Okay,
thank you.
All right, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. That's one man's view of how the world works. See you later.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.